As I explained at the beginning, this is a continuation of the story of the feeding of the 5,000, followed by Jesus walking across the water and calming the storm with the disciples. And the crowd left behind discovers that Jesus is not there, and so they pursue him. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there. They also saw that Jesus had not gotten into the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. And so when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for him. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Gospel of the Lord. Last week we talked a little bit about the dehumanization process, of which all of us are a part, in as much as when we look at something that we don't like, or we find something that is distasteful or unacceptable to ourselves, we tend to demonize or characterize the person who represents that as being not acceptable, and therefore in dehumanizing that person, we can treat them as an object or as a pawn in whatever structure or game we happen to be playing or whatever judgment system we happen to be using. It's very easy, and we discussed a little bit about how that happens in a global way. One of the things that we should take from that, if nothing else, is that whenever we treat someone as less than human, we are violating something that we truly believe is the heart and soul of Christian understanding of God. Considering each other, it is very easy for us to fall into the traps of dehumanizing each other because we are surrounded by a culture that does that on a regular basis, whether it's through advertising or pushing some kind of drug or encouraging somebody to buy a product or whatever. The truth is, anytime that that happens, humanity is compromised. And as we suggested at the end of last week's sermon, I struggle myself with times when I dehumanize people because of my judgments or because of my stance or my skew on something. I tend to push aside the reality that these are people. They are human beings. And I come up against this very strong teaching of Jesus that he came to be the bread of life for all people. Whoever comes to me will never hunger or be thirsty. And who am I to say who can come and who cannot? Jesus, in other words, takes us beyond the humanity question and draws us into something that is even more difficult to wrap our hands around and to understand in a way that is practical, that doesn't demand scientific proof, that depends totally on the spirit of vulnerability that we offer to God. And that is, it's not just a question of being human. It's a question of recognizing that all that is human is also divine. That all that exists is also divine. That everything that we look at, everything that we touch, everything that we see, everything that we participate in the world is filled with divinity. The mystics have gone so far as to say, as we have quoted many times, Teresa of Avila, we are the hands of God. We are the only face that God has. We are the arms and the healing touch of God. We are all those things in God's place. I wish in some ways that when I was in seminary, we had skipped all the stuff that we learned about theology and about the way things grew and thinking of all these people, etc., and focused on this. If only we had been more of a, I want to say prayerful, but I'm cautious about prayerful because prayer is different things to lots of people. I think open and vulnerable is the best way to describe the possibility that God permeates every facet of this life on earth. John has been accused, of being kind of loopy, because some of the things he says really stretch one's imagination. But what he is basically saying is underscored by that very simple truth, that God permeates everything in creation. So instead of saying, let's stop dehumanizing each other, maybe we should be saying, let's recognize the divinity in each other. Now that's pretty scary. What is divinity to you? Who is God to you? How do you experience God? You are still here out of the thousands who perhaps went through this church over the years because somehow you cling to an idea of God that gives you motivation in your life, that perhaps gives you focus as you go through trials or struggles, or a sense that you find God in each other. Every Sunday morning I come here, and it's like a new day. Besides the fact that I'm terrified to be here, I look at you and you make it all right. Because we have a home. And that says to me, as I say to you, that through the week when I'm thinking about you and I'm thinking about Sunday morning, I'm thinking about you in the experience of God that you give me, not because you're nice and not because you're doing things for each other, but because in knowing your stories and having some kind of contact with you in your personal life over these years, it's very clear to me that God speaks through you all the time. I said some weeks back when we celebrated my 50th that the people I serve have always been my major inspiration. And you are that inspiration for me. And because of you, I find myself up against the wall many times in the course of a day as I listen to the news, as I watch what's going on in the world, as I read the news. I should probably give all that up. I'd probably be much happier. But in facing the things that the world is facing and somehow trying to be a responsible person in this world, in the little bit of the world that I occupy, you come up against it all the time. Do you really believe that God is a part of every facet of creation? It makes a nice banner. But when that part of creation does something horrendous or does something so inhumane or preys upon groups of people or somehow violates some of the basic respects for human dignity, whether it's in Africa or South America, some of the places that we still see are almost primitive, it's very hard to believe that the divinity is there. And yet, when Jesus stood at the table, or they sat at the table in those days, when he sat at the table and he took bread, he took a tradition that was part of his history for centuries and ratcheted up a notch. He says to the people of Israel, you have believed from the time of Moses that God has provided for you all things, that God has been your protector, that God has been the one watching over you and taking care of you and getting you through the wars and moving you forward as a nation, etc. And of course, at some times, God had to punish you because you were messing up. But in the big picture, God was there to take care of you. And in your worst hours, when you were starving, God even provided food. And because of that, you have a tradition that once a year, you remember that God provided food for you in the desert. And so you do this ritual sacrificial lamb thing, and you pour the blood on the altar, and you pour blood on the doorposts to reenact the Passover that took you from being this lost tribe to having an identity. What I am saying to you at this table tonight is that I am the sacrificial lamb. Only this time it is not to just take you into some kind of recognition in the world. It is to completely transform you and the world by telling you that God is always with you, that God is merciful and compassionate, not punishing and damning. It's a merciful and compassionate God. And that when you look around the world and you look at each other, whether they share at your table or not, these are part of the body. These people belong at the table. In fact, in his parables and in all the things he taught, there is not the smallest mustard seed, the minutest bird, the lowliest weed in his stories that doesn't somehow reveal the presence of God. If you have eyes to see, he took us from a free people with an identity to a whole new identity that says the divine is here on this earth, and it's you. It's you, and it's all of them. And that's hard. But I believe it has to be said, because, brothers and sisters, if there's something that we have to offer the world that is such desperate situations, is that we are meant to be, always have been, to be one body on this earth. One. Unfortunately, we have over these many centuries not learned how to make that work. But in these desperate times, maybe we are the remnant who will hold on to that truth. When all else fails, there will be a place for everybody who wants to come to belong to the body and know that God dwells here, and that God dwells all over the town. God dwells all over the world. Nothing can change without some kind of an inspiration, without a new thought, without something different to move it. After all these centuries, maybe it's time that we push this thought into the mix and begin to live in a way that just might change the world. Just a thought. Amen.